This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Financial markets have had a monster run, and there's still a ton of bullishness on Wall Street. But our guest today sees a potential breakdown for stocks long term and says investing tactics that have worked for decades may no longer be the best play. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, let's bring on Jim Welch, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. Jim, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
It's always good to join you, Andy.
As of the taping of this Gains podcast, we just had a rough day for stocks, but they've come a long way, and we had a little give back today. So I just wanted to start there.
Well, a couple things. Going into the high of the last couple days, the underpinnings of the market in terms of how many stocks were participating, how many stocks were making new highs, looking at things like the VIX, which might be a little esoteric for some of your listeners, Andy, but there were enough signs to suggest that if a reason to sell materialized, the S&P was likely to drop 3-7%. And I think that's what happened today. We got a CPI report that wasn't quite as good as people expected it to be. It provided an excuse for selling, and obviously we saw the results. The one thing I will say is, as you know, I combine fundamental and the technical side of things. And when I look at a very short-term chart of the S&P 500, I can count five waves down from the high yesterday. And what that implies, and I'm taking it at face value, is that after a bounce, and we saw one late today and probably into early tomorrow and so forth, I think there's going to be another leg down. Now, to most listeners, like five down, what the heck is he talking about? It's chart analysis, a specific type of chart analysis. And I can, you know, we'll tell you, and you know, last October, when the 10-year was up around 5%, I expected Treasury yields to drop by a fair amount. And the reason? There was a five-wave decline in Treasury bond prices. And what that implies is you're going to get a counter-trend move. So we've seen Treasury yields come down quite a bit. Early this year, I thought yields would start to tick higher, and they have. And that was one of the contributing factors to today's weakness, Andy. Treasury yields jumped a fair amount.
Okay, Jim, real quick, I want you to kind of go into more details. I mean, when you talk about legs down explain to the gate, because a lot of people, this is kind of new to to some of the Gains listeners, some of us old timers, I guess we're familiar with it. But kind of explain what you mean. Just kind of give us a 101 on that, because we're talking about, you know, this as far as how the market's setting up. So, you know, critical to kind of give a 101 here, Jim.
Yep. So we're going to use the chart of TLT, so listeners can go to a source and just type in TLT, and you can pull up a chart on TLT. And
explain what TLT is real quick.
Oh, thank you. Sorry. It is the Treasury Bond ETF, and it has about a 27-year maturity, so it mimics the 30-year Treasury bond. So the
and, point TLT, being, and TLT is the vehicle that you can trade that, and it's almost like it's an ETF, right? TLT.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, all right, go ahead. Go ahead, Jim.
Last October, and I showed a chart of TLT. This was on October 23rd, which turned out to be the exact day of the low. But if you pull up a chart of TLT, Andy, you can see that from the high in March of 2020, so that was at the height of the pandemic fear and craziness, TLT traded up to 179.70. It then proceeded to decline significantly to about 133. For wave one down, it bounced to 155 and changed for two. Wave three ended in October of 22 at about 92, rallied in 109, and then it dropped to 82.42 last October. So you could see five clear waves down. What that, anytime you get five of anything, you're completing something. And what I inferred from that chart pattern and a belief that we were going to see inflation continued to decline and so forth, that we were going to have Treasury yields come down very significantly. And if Treasury yields came down, it would lead to dollar weakness, and it would lead to a pretty good rally in the stock market. So that's what's transpired as we got into early December. My expectation, Andy, was that we were going to see TLT decline because the economy was likely to show additional strength. And Wall Street was way out of their minds, in my view, expecting that the Federal Reserve is going to cut the funds rate 6 to 7 times this year, starting in March. I thought that was completely nuts. And if I was right, we would see Treasury yields tick higher. And that's what they've been doing. And I thought that that would lead to some weakness in the mega cap stocks, which obviously materialized today. So chart analysis is something most people don't spend any time on, if and very little if they do. And I would just always, as we talk, encourage people to learn more about technical analysis. It might take you 5 years before you really understand it, but it'll be time well spent, especially if you're in your 30s, early 40s. You've got plenty of time to learn some of this stuff. And if I'm right about the bigger picture, Andy, that's going to be a skill level that is going to be really, really helpful over the next 10 to 15 years.
Yes, because you see a kind of a chain, the way the market's trading long term is a little bit different than we've seen over the past 10, 20 years. And explain that real quick.
Yeah, basically, you get these long waves of secular bull phases, and then it's followed by a secular bear phase. And the last time we had one was from 1966 to 1982. The Dow was at 1,000 in 1966, and in 1982 it was under 800. So you had 16 years of going nowhere. I think we're on the cusp of a similar situation where the market struggles for 10 to 15 years. And one of the things that makes this year very interesting, Andy, is the S&P has hit an important high every 17 years. So starting in 1939, 56, 73, 90, 2007, and here we are 2024. In each of those other examples, the S&P has subsequently dropped at least by 20%, if not more, obviously, the 2007 experience, the 1973 experience.
And say that again, at least
20%.
Or more. That's more. Staggering.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like at the least decline was a little over 20%. And, of course, after 2007, the S&P dropped by 57%. In 1973, after that peak, declined, I think, 49%. So
this is part of, Jim, this is what you're saying here, and for the Gaines listeners here, is he's talking about something that's part of a very, very broad cycle.
Yes.
And just kind of explain. I mean, you're talking, these are big chunks of years that you're talking about. Explain that.
Well, again, my belief here is that Treasury bonds were in a secular bull market from 1981 until 2020. I mean, people, it's hard to believe it, but...
And they're like, what? I mean, a lot of people are like, what? I mean, that's looking big view. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, here, I'm going to interject this. If somebody wants to learn a little bit more of this, send me an email to Jim Welsh Macro, and I will at Gmail. And I'll send you some information that goes into much greater detail than you and I have the time for. But there are some real reasons why I think we're headed toward a secular bear market in stocks, in part because I think a secular bear market in bonds has already begun. And that's based on that five-wave decline in Treasury bond prices and TLT. So the Treasury market was in a bull market from 1981 until 2020. The prior secular bear market lasted from 1945 to 1981. So these things last a long time. And I think things like the deficit, the interest expense, we're going to see a huge amount of supply continuing to hit the Treasury bond market. And I think that's one of the factors why Treasury yields are going to go higher than they were last October at some point in time over the next handful of years. I think that, you know, this year yields will drop again to lower levels than what we saw in early January. But longer term, this is, to me, what the outlook looks like, Andy. And historically, stock prices are priced off of the 10-year Treasury yield. And if I'm right, we're going to see the 10-year Treasury yield get to 8%, maybe even higher. But some point in time, if that takes place, the stock market, I think, is going to experience a decline during its secular bear market that'll bring the S&P down to about 1,600. And I picked that number because that was the high. The S&P topped at 1555 in 2000 and 1575 in 2007. So I'm not one of these negative guys. I've been bullish for since last October for the overall market, expected the S&P to get above 4,900. Most people thought I was a little crazy. But I think we're entering a window of time that is going to be very, very challenging for investors who simply buy and hold.
Which is a tactic that has worked fairly well for a very long time. So this is where, and you talked about the importance of technical analysis,
exactly.
Actually picking stocks to find success in investing. Hey, we're going to talk about how to play all of this, what the future holds. When we get back, we got to take a quick break. But hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Jim after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Back with Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at macrotides.com in San Diego. And as always, Jim, you even kind of gave a little plug earlier. Give the Gains listener what they want here. You got a little offer. Hook us up.
Jim Welsh, macro at Gmail, and I'll be happy to send you some additional information regarding this coming secular bear market in stocks. And the February macro tides issue went into much more detail, Andy, regarding treasury yields and you know, the path I think they're going to take in the next handful of years. So it's a lot of information, but I think it's approaching markets from a little different point of view. And sometimes that's, I think, helpful to jog people to, you know, hopefully become more interested in, as I said before,
that email, that analysis. That email one more time, Jim.
Jim Welsh, macro at gmail.com.
And that's Welsh, W-E-L-S-H.
Yeah.
All right. So definitely take him up on that. So how do you play this? You know, obviously, we're talking about how people should bone up on technical analysis. It's going to become a market where you go and pick individual stocks and sectors. And I guess you have to be more specific instead of just that broad ETF. You know, markets are going to just go higher and higher and higher. It seems like you have to be a little more calculated here, bring a little strategy and, as we mentioned, technical analysis to the game.
Absolutely. I mean, there's just, to me, you know, we're trying to figure out a puzzle, and it's hard. And on the one side, we have fundamental data like GDP and retail sales and unemployment rate. That's all very, very important. The other side of the equation is technical analysis. And so I've spent a few decades combining those two disciplines, and I can tell you that combination has helped me significantly in terms of avoiding big declines like 2022. To me, the Fed was going to be aggressive in raising rates. They were, and the market took it on the chin. In October of 2022, I thought the market was about to bottom. The dollar was topping out. Treasury yields were going to come down. And that was due to the combination of looking at chart analysis from the various major averages, as well as the fundamental outlook. So this is a tough task. I just think people are going to be, if you, again, look up the Dow from 1966 to 1982, it's important to do that. Most people, I think, are unaware that there have historically been these extended periods where the market really doesn't do all that well. And when that happens, there isn't going to be a rising tide to lift all the boats. So that requires then a different skill set. And I think I help my subscribers learn about the market, hopefully develop an awareness of some of these other factors that they can then use in protecting their portfolios when we're going to see market declines. And I think, Andy, as I said, I think earlier, five waves down on the S&P from yesterday's high implies, okay, we're going to get a bounce. There's going to be another leg down after any bounce that we see. So 4,800, 4,850 is the first level of support that is likely to, you know, almost act like a magnet for the S&P to get down to.
Then how do you play this? What's the advice for the, you know, the gains listener? We like actually picking stocks, and
sure,
a lot of us like picking stocks, like taking some risk. You know, if things look juicy enough, I'll outright short the market as well. But what's your advice for people playing this, especially if there is this big shift in the way markets are trading and just how things are going for stocks, you know, for quite some time forward?
Yeah. Well, again, I think this is coming. I need more, if you will, confirmation that it has actually begun. I think there's a chance, Andy. Again, my take coming into this year was the economy was going to continue to be okay. And that was why I thought treasury yields would rise, because the Fed wouldn't be cutting rates if the economy was doing just fine. At the same time, I do think there's a slowdown coming as we get closer to the middle of this year. And I think we'll see before the end of this year at least one quarter of negative GDP growth. At some point in time, the Fed is going to be cutting rates, not because inflation has come down, it's because the economy is starting to weaken more than anticipated. And if that's the case, TLT, which went from under 83 to 100, and it's pulled back to about just under 93, I believe, as of today's close. I think it's going to rally to 105 to 109 between now and, let's say, Labor Day. Near term, I think TLT is going to pull back a little bit more, and I've been looking for that as a buying opportunity because I think TLT is going to have a fairly significant rally. In terms of the equity market, I've been telling people above 49.50, you want to get defensive, take money off the table. For people who wanted to be aggressive, I suggested going short the S&P because I thought that we were on the cusp of a 3 to 7% pullback. Gold, I think today's action is pretty negative. I think there's a chance that gold will drop below 1974. If it does, that opens the door to a decline down to 1810. So, bigger picture on gold, I'm looking for a place to buy it because I think gold is going to rally above 2300.
How does precious metals perform in these long, like, let's just call them flatter markets?
Yeah, it's difficult to really have the history, Andy, because gold was fixed at a specific price for decades and decades.
So there was no free trade until the
1971.
Right, 1971.
Okay.
And then we saw that rally that goes into the 80s.
So, gold is an interesting market. I think you have to take it one step at a time. For instance, inflation went nuts over the last 3 years. Gold rallied, and then it dropped significantly. So, to me, gold is one of the markets where you almost have to use technical analysis if you're going to try to play the swings. So, my take has been that I'm looking for a buying opportunity in gold. If it does get down to 1800, I think that'll be an unbelievably great buy. As I said, I think gold is going to rally above 2300 before the end of this year. So now it's just a question of waiting for some additional weakness to unfold and signs of a trading low to take place. So that's, the markets that I'm looking at. I think emerging markets are going to be a great marketplace to look at, but we need to see how the S&P behaves over the next handful of weeks. I think there's a chance, if you look at the chart of 2018, it might be instructive. The other thing I noted in yesterday's weekly technical review, Andy, the S&P hit a peak in January of 2018. It hit a peak in February of 2020, hit a peak in January of 2022. And I thought, okay, we're, February of 2024, I think we're going to have another peak. In 2018, the S&P had a very sharp decline in a very short period of time after topping out in late January. It then bottomed out and ultimately, as the market got to like September, October, rallied to a higher high. I think that's possible from this standpoint. If we see economic weakness materialize and the Fed really starts cutting interest rates, I think there could be another very significant rally that takes the S&P to a higher new all-time high over the summer or into the early fall. So, if I'm right about the economy slowing in the near, in the short term, that's probably negative for the market because everyone's betting on the economy to be just fine. But that selling, if it's in response to, oh my goodness, the economy's slowing, we might have a recession, I think that will be a buying opportunity because the next shoe to drop will be the Fed cutting rates, and everybody knows what happens next. The Fed cuts rates, people are going to want to jump in because that's the way the game works.
And talking about the Fed, the one thing that surprised me is there seems to be a ton of bullishness, and then also talk about investors and the street just misreading the Fed. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
Even when they were telling you exactly what they were going to do, that was a head scratcher.
Yep.
I would love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I write about a lot in my letters because it's amazing, as you're pointing out. So in early 2022, Powell said, inflation was an extreme risk. Wall Street thought the Fed would raise the funds rate three times in 2022 by 25 basis points each time. Obviously, they were unbelievably wrong about that. In the last few months, Andy, like after the mid-December FOMC meeting, they penciled in three rate cuts in all of 2024 for whatever reason. And I think the main is that Wall Street's been so focused. Oh, inflation's coming down. The Fed can cut rates. And so they were looking for six to seven cuts. I thought that was completely ludicrous. Because the Fed can't talk about this, but it's part of the thinking process inside the Fed. And that is unemployment is near a 50-year low. The economy continues to grow above its long-term non-inflationary growth rate of about 1.8%. That's what the Fed believes. So we're at a stage where the Fed's not going to be cutting rates aggressively with unemployment near a 50-year low and the economy growing at about 2.25% to 2.5%, comfortably above that 1.8% level. So I think the Fed is not looking at the next 6 months, Andy. They're looking at the next 2 to 3 years. And they want to know that when they do start cutting the funds rate, that the inflation will continue to moderate. I mean, and it's unlikely or less likely with the unemployment rate at a 50-year low, or pretty much near a 50-year low, within, I think, 0.3, and the economy still, you know, doing pretty good. And so I think the Fed will need to see economic data show more slowing, and then I think they will respond fairly quickly. But since Wall Street's been betting on, hey, the Fed's going to be cutting like crazy, I thought the market could be vulnerable to a 3 to 7% decline when they finally realize the Fed is not going to be cutting rates as aggressively in response to lower inflation.
Well, it's important for the and it's important for the Fed to actually put a couple of those tools back in the tool belt, so when things really get bad, they have a little something to kind of spur the engine, so to speak. Covered a lot of ground today. What's the takeaway? What's the play here?
Well,
and I know it's a wait and see situation. So,
Well, again, from a short term standpoint, my assumption here, Andy, is we're going to see the S&P rally maybe another 20 to 40 points in the very near term. Then the S&P is going to take out today's low. I think a decline towards 4850 to 4800 is very, very likely. And at that point in time, the market will be probably somewhat oversold and there will be another bounce. But near term, that's what my expectation is, a bounce and then another leg down.
Always appreciate the advice from Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com in San Diego. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.